This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين وأصلي وأسلم على نبيه الكريم عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. My brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. As a reminder, again, I'm going to remind all of us to try and have the Mus'haf or the Qur'an open in front of us, if we can, either on our phones or the actual copy. Never feel shy to get up and do something in a class, right? Especially with me. As long as we're doing something that's good, alhamdulillah, I never have any objections to that. Today, inshallah, the 15th day of Ramadan, subhanallah, the month is going very fast, but I'm feeling it this year. Like, my brain is feeling it, subhanAllah. I just feel like it's past its limit. You know, when you fill up a bottle and it's just overflowing, that's what's happening, subhanAllah. But we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to push through. This is always a time that's challenging and always a time that's going to be difficult. You know, it's been 2 weeks now that we've been fasting and on the routine and so on and so forth. And for some people, it's a little bit more difficult than others for various reasons. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for every single one of us to maximize from this month of Ramadan, but to also put our time and energy in the right places. Ameen. Today, inshaAllah ta'ala, I wanted to take a few more verses from Surah An-Nahl. Because they have a meaning that's important for us. And I'm going to do like I did last week and stop a few minutes earlier than usual. So let me know when we're about 20 minutes. Yeah, 20 minutes before we finish, inshallah. That way I have 10 minutes to address a topic, something that's needed to be addressed. So 20 minutes before the adhan, inshallah. Today we're going to continue with Surah An-Nahl, and we'll also take some verses from Surah Al-Isra. And we want to begin with verse number 90, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a verse here in the Qur'an that many people, many of the khutaba, those that give a khutbah, they will quote this a lot of the time at the end of their khutbah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 90 of Surah An-Nahl, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغِي يَعِذُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here orders us. It's a command. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us or orders us to have justice or to deal with good character. Al-adl wal-ihsan, right? Adl, which is justice, and ihsan, which is goodness. And subhanAllah, this is important for us to focus on, because as believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, much of our deen has to do with goodness, right? As much as society tells us the opposite, right? As much as the media likes to portray the complete opposite, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues in the verse and says, He orders us to justice and good conduct and giving to relatives, giving to those that are near to us, taking care of them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbids, وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ. He forbids immorality and bad conduct and oppression. So anytime you see something happening in the media, on TV, in the news that is making us as Muslims look bad, and your friends at school or your colleagues at work are telling you, look at Islam and look at what, you know, Muslims are supposed to be a certain way, be harsh and be hard, and you know, the term that's always used, Muslims, you know, extremists and terrorists, that's not the case. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants goodness for us and orders us and commands us towards goodness, and also encourages us to also use justice, right? To be very fair in our dealings with one another. And He warns us against certain things. وَيَنْهَى. He forbids us from immorality. And subhanAllah, you notice that immorality, this can, you know, there's so many different types of immorality. There's so many different types of good conduct as well and good behavior. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbids us from bad conduct and oppression, right? Oppressing one another, putting some sort of harm upon another person, making them feel as though, you know, they are lower, or they are stuck, or they are trapped, and so on and so forth. This is against the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He does not like this from us. يَعِذُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides us this way. Right? This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides us through. He wants us to do these things and stay away from those that He mentions, that perhaps you will be reminded. Right? And this is why we remind ourselves at the end of the khutbah. Usually you'll notice the imam will recite this at the end, and many of us do not know what it actually means. And so now we know, alhamdulillah, again, the cream of the crop is here, right? So we know very well what this means, and we know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wanting from us. We move on. In verse number 97 of Surah An-Nahl, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a formula or a remedy for happiness. You know, we mentioned the other day that a lot of people are sad and a lot of people are depressed and a lot of people have anxiety and they suffer from feeling, you know, trapped all the time. You know, that feeling of claustrophobia, feeling claustrophobic, that you're sitting in a big room but you don't know where to go. Your mind is trapped. And that's what we're dealing with nowadays, that our minds are trapped. Our bodies are free, but our minds are trapped. And a lot of it has to do with breaking free from the habits that we have. Breaking free from these things, right? Breaking free from being attached and trapped by the world. You'll notice when a person sends you a message and you get it, you reach for your phone. It's like we have no control over ourselves. And scientists will tell us, doctors will say it, you know, dopamine is released in the body and our minds just go crazy. We need to have it. We need to reach for that phone. And it's the exact same thing that is released in a person's body when they're taking drugs. SubhanAllah, it's really, really strange, really sad. In a way, we could say that if a person is addicted to reaching to their phone all the time, technically, we might be able to say that that's haram, right? That a person should be in control of themselves, in control of their actions, in control of their mind. And I was saying this earlier, we did a workshop earlier today at 12 o'clock on zakah, right? On zakah. And subhanAllah, we were highlighting the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because one of the 8 categories is to free someone who is trapped, a slave, to free them. And I mentioned how the essence of human beings, Allah wants us to be free. Allah wants us not to be under the supervision or to be under the authority of other people. We are to be free. We do what's recommended from us or expected from us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of following the deen and following the laws of the land that we live in. But in terms of employment, in terms of freedom and having the freedom to express ourselves and freedom to speak and freedom to, you know, subhanAllah, just be, that's from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As in, you'll notice the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they would come to him while he's sitting with the other companions. And we don't see this a lot of the time. We think, oh, you know, they lived an ideal lifestyle. Whatever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, they did. Yes, but they still questioned. Right? They still question. There were things on their minds like you and I. We wonder, well, what about this and what about that? Can we question it? And sometimes he was sitting with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And it may be a woman that would come and ask a question. And he would give his attention to them. And he would address the topic. He would not just beat around the bush. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we ask Allah to give us that ability to speak the truth. And to bring the truth out when the truth is needed to be spoken, that we actually say it, that we're not shy and we're not scared. We use wisdom, as we're going to see very soon in a few verses, we use wisdom. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us that we are free in terms of, I can go to an imam, for example, and ask a question and not feel ashamed. I'm not talking about confession, I'm talking about asking a question, seeking advice, right? We should be that type of person. And it's not only the imam, it's with anyone. I should be comfortable to go to any single one of you and ask you a question and feel free, knowing that I'm not going to be judged, knowing that I'm not going to be, you know, questioned or labeled in a certain way. That's how we should be, subhanAllah, as believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse number 97, He gives us the formula or a remedy to feel happiness, to bring happiness in our lives. But we need to have that element of belief in order to feel it first. And that's the catch. We need to have the element of belief. I need to believe that this will happen to me. This will take place. I will feel this way with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like we take a pill, right? A person takes a pill and knows this pill has made me feel better in the past, and this is why I take it now. Right? Simple example. Like, I have my pill now. I'm just reminding myself I have to take it. That's why I'm saying it, right? And for my heartburn. I have heartburn. I've been taking these pills for a few years now for heartburn because of a condition that I've suffered with for 21 years. And now, alhamdulillah. But I know that through that pill, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me that relief that I need. Similarly, if I trust that Allah will make that happiness enter into my life, it will happen. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in verse number 97? مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِّن ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever does righteousness, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى, whether you are a man or a woman, and you do righteousness, you do good deeds, while believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well, فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً, we will surely cause him to live a good life. What do we have to do? I just finished telling you the prescription. What do we have to do? Let's see if we're paying attention. A righteous life? We get a righteous life. What do we do? What do we have to do? Good deeds. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا, whether male or female. Right? وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, and they are a believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. That's it. Do we believe? Of course. That's why we're here. We believe, alhamdulillah. I mean, someone might be here that doesn't believe and they're trying to learn. Alhamdulillah, that's good. So we believe. We remove that element. Are we male and female? Yes. Right? We have the brothers, we have the sisters. Alhamdulillah, we remove that element. What is needed from us now? In the prescription, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whether you're male or you're female, and you believe, you have to do good deeds in order to have a nice, happy life. Alhamdulillah, that's it, good deeds. Now, doing good deeds translates into a huge essay of what we have to do, right? What we need to do in order to do good deeds. Doing good deeds could be everything from not wasting food and drink. It could be helping one another, smiling to someone else, right? Smiling at someone else. It could be helping people to serve. Alhamdulillah, we see we have, you know, the brothers out on this side, the sisters over there. We have some youth that are helping to serve, alhamdulillah, or get the food ready. We also notice that people will be serving later on. Doing good deeds can be good deeds of secrecy, right? Where you, no one knows it, but subhanAllah, you go and you pay someone's bills. Let's say you pay for someone's heating, you pay for someone's electricity, you pay for someone's gas bills at home. You know, you look after someone else. I remember when I was young, subhanAllah, the imam of our masjid, there was a brother who, he would never let the imam pay for anything to do with his car. Right, this brother gave the imam the car, made the payments for the car, you know, paid, gave him some money so that he can use for the insurance and for the registration and for the fuel to go into the car. That was his sadaqah. That's what he did, alhamdulillah. So doing something that is secret, no one knows, or it's an agreement between you and someone else, alhamdulillah, these are good deeds. And when we do good deeds for others, what do we notice? Like today, another event that I was at earlier, from what, 4 to 6, was a toy drive, right? In Milton, there was a toy drive in collaboration with MyRec, organized by MyRec, in collaboration with National Zakat Foundation. They had children come, each child had to purchase a toy, right? Brand new, still sealed, either one or more toys, bring them, have them wrapped, make a card, and, you know, just basically submit it. Just give that toy to the organizers, and then they would go and distribute it to other children that are either in hospitals, or some of the children from the Syrian refugees that came in, or some, you know, families that don't have what their families have for Eid and so on and so forth. Just basically sharing toys with others. This is something for the children. That in itself, it's a good deed. And I was asking the children, you know, my wife told me to ask the children, how many toys do we have in our room? And forget about toys, like many of us are not children, so just general question, how many things do we have in our bedroom alone? Just the bedroom. Lots of things, right? A person might have a bed, and on that bed there's a skirt, and underneath the bed skirt there's a frame, and then there's the box, and then, you know, the box spring, then the mattress, and then there's, you know, the fitted sheet, right? You know, those annoying ones with elastics that are so annoying to fold, right? You have those sheets, then you have a sheet over it, a blanket, maybe a duvet on top, then you have the pillow with the pillowcases, and you might have one or two or three or four or five or six pillows on your bed, right? Some people have more, and then some people have cushions on their bed as well. That's just the bed. Then what's in the room? Oh, there might be a carpet, right? Maybe it's hardwood floor, but then you'll notice something hanging on the wall, you know, a nice decoration, there'll be a night table, you'll have Kleenex, you'll have, you know, so many things in our room, subhanAllah. And you think of it, someone who doesn't have, and you ask them, what's in your room? They might say, just a firash, just a blanket. Is there a pillow? No pillow, just a blanket. That's just what they sleep on. What else is in your room? Nothing. But what makes us different than that person? Nothing. Alhamdulillah, we're human beings. We're both human beings. One person goes to sleep in the room, the other person goes to sleep in that room. One person wakes up feeling refreshed, the other person wakes up feeling refreshed. But the amount of things, subhanAllah, it just makes your mind like boggled. Like, how many things do we have in our lives? Now, you know, the simple question there was, imagine you are giving something that you have, like the children, to someone else, to another child, that makes them feel happy. Isn't that a good deed that you feel good about? Of course. You see someone who doesn't have the things that you have, and you give to them something so they can also enjoy it. You see happiness upon them, and that makes you happy. The Prophet ﷺ taught us, give hadiyah, give gifts to others, tahabbu. You will feel happy as well. When you give to others, you will feel happy. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. We will give that person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give that person a happy life. You'll notice that whatever you have in life is not what makes you happy. It's not the things that make us happy. And that's why depression is so rampant right now. Because we as human beings get happy with the things that we have, and not the general happiness that we should be enjoying. And you remember back in the day, a parent would get happy when they come home and see their child. Now, subhanAllah, a parent comes home and sees their child, they get happy for 2 minutes, oh, something else makes me happy, right? That release of dopamine in us, subhanAllah, where now we are happy with our children, but something made us even more happy. It's the fact that I don't know who this message came from, and I don't know what's written in it, and I don't know what the email is about, and I don't know what the post is about, and I don't know what's being said in the video, and I need to watch it, and I need to see it, and I need to explore. Curiosity killed the cat, just like curiosity is killing our own personalities. It's destroying us, subhanAllah. And we see here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us, do good deeds. Just do lots and lots of good deeds, and happiness will come to us. And that's why we need to continue to push hard. Because the more goodness that we do, and the more goodness that we share, the more happiness comes into our lives. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make that a reality for every single one of us. Ameen. We move on in Surah An-Nahl to verses number... let's take verse number 120, inshallah, very quickly. Verse number 120. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
Inna Ibrahima kana ummatan qanitan lillah. Inna Ibrahima kana ummatan qanitan lillahi hanifa. وَلَمْ يَكُ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed Ibrahim was a ummah. And the word ummah means a lot of things, right? It can mean a nation. But it can also mean someone who leads. Because you're leading the nation, you are guiding. And so Ibrahim alayhi salam, he himself, if we look at it, was an ummah. Yes, he was as powerful as an entire nation in terms of his belief. The belief of Ibrahim alayhi salam would not waver. He would not be confused with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ever. His belief was so firm that they created that massive fire that we all know of very well. Huge, huge fire that birds would fly over and fall into it and become charred. But Ibrahim alayhi salam was shown, he would see that fire. He watched them build the fire. He watched them make it bigger and bigger and more fierce, right? And subhanallah, he was still calm and patient and still trusted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even at the moment when he's being launched into the fire, because it was so hot, they couldn't just walk over it and say, okay, Ibrahim, get into the fire, right? No, they had to throw him, launch him into the fire. And when he's being launched into the fire, he is approached by Jibreel alayhi salam. Comes to him very quickly on the spot. Jibreel alayhi salam asks him, are you in need of anything? And what does Ibrahim alayhi salam say to him? From you? No. I'm good. Nothing. But from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes. He needed help from Allah. Right? Trusting that Allah is the one who brings help and assistance. Not even Jibreel alayhi salam. Jibreel, the angel that brought down the Quran to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not even he can come to our help and assistance without the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not even the angel. Subhanallah. And here we see Ibrahim alayhi salam, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, kana ummah. He was a nation, a comprehensive leader as well. One who was very dynamic in his thoughts when he was speaking to those that were worshipping the stars and the moon and the sun. What was he saying? He's like, oh, you see this? Oh, it comes. Okay, this must be God. No, it's not God. Oh, you see that? This must be our Lord. No, it's not our Lord. Oh, you see this? The sun, it's the biggest. This must be our Lord. This must be God. No, it's not. Why? Because it disappears. It comes and it goes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always there listening, always ready to hear from us. Right? And so Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was also comprehensive in the way that he would speak to people, the way that he would convey the message. His father was the one who made the idols. What would he do? He wouldn't go to his father and say, what's wrong with you? Don't you understand? Can't you, you know, don't you have any senses? You raised me. You gave me the education that I have. Can't you think for yourself? He didn't speak to him, to his father like that. What would he say? Ya abati. Oh, my dearest father. Right? Using wisdom, using hikmah, talking to a person in a way that would touch their hearts, that would affect their hearts. And that was Ibrahim alayhi salam. Always thinking of the other person, making sure that the other person would understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just like he understood Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? We move on inshaAllah. We don't want to take too much time on these verses because I want to finish a bit early. In verse number 125, just a few verses later, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us that remedy again. Not for happiness, but now this time a remedy for giving da'wah. A remedy that we see the prophets and the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would use as well upon their people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
Udu'u إِلَى سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْعِظَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us the importance of giving da'wah, but also how we behave when we're doing that. So how to call people to Islam, how to invite people, whether Muslim or non-Muslim. And why do I say whether Muslim or non-Muslim? Because we know we invite the non-Muslim, but sometimes we need to invite the Muslim. We know many Muslims who just don't pray. They say they believe, but where is their belief? Where is the understanding of this deen, subhanAllah, in their lives? Are they conscious that they will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are they aware that they will be questioned by Allah? Not they, us, we, that we will be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And that's a thing we need to ask ourselves all the time. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ud'u, call, invite to the way of Allah, ila sabili rabbika bil hikmah. Invite them, first of all, before we even get into the hikmah part, the invitation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say, order, command, force Islam upon others. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ud'u, invite them. What do you do when you invite someone to a wedding? Nowadays we see those nice invitations, eh? All printed in Pakistan, right? Super, super cheap, but look like $1 million, right? You get an invitation like, mashallah, look at this. Right? Recently I got an invitation for a wedding, or I think, I don't remember, did we get the invitation or we delivered the invitation to your parents, right? It was like a scroll. It was this big box. You open the box and in it is another box, right? So you take a box out of a box. Then in it you open it up and there's like, you know, a nice decoration on it and subhanAllah, just beautiful. And there's a scroll and you take the scroll out and then you open the scroll, you unroll it. Oh, that's the invitation, subhanAllah. You wonder to yourself, how much money is going into this, right? That's what most people think. But what is the person who's inviting you thinking? They're like, we're doing goodness for our guests. We're inviting our guests. We want them to feel happy. We want them to feel welcomed. We want them to come. We want them to be part of this happy moment, this joyous moment. Ud'u, invite. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, invite people. Invite them just like we go out of our way to make these beautiful invitations for weddings. Think of that multiplied by 1 billion. Why? Because we're inviting to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even though israf, be careful, we say this all the time, israf in weddings is beyond belief. Like the amount that we spend on weddings is absolutely ridiculous, subhanallah. Completely, completely at times against our deen. Completely. People are like, oh, don't worry brother, it's a segregated wedding. Some things are even more important now. You're talking about segregation, subhanAllah. Only the rich are coming and eating from this food, right? Only the rich are being invited. What about the poor? What about the amount of food, the amount of food that's going to go into the garbage afterwards? What about the cost of this food? Do we need it? Like one grain of rice is, you know, more expensive than another grain of rice? Okay, we offer good standards, no doubt, but let's be moderate. Let's be reasonable. Let's be understanding of our deen. And so here we have an invitation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, invite. Invite with what? Bil hikmah. With wisdom. You're inviting someone who's a youth. Don't go up to them and say, beta, do this or else. Right? You show them your hand or you take off your belt. Right? And for those that don't, those of my brother, my Arabic speaking brothers, you didn't understand what I said, right? The Pakistani, my father's Pakistani, right? And I'm not talking about my father, alhamdulillah. I can't remember being beaten by my father. But, you know, the way that we see in our culture is like, you know, just force, just say it. And that's because, alhamdulillah, you probably remember back in Iraq as well, when an elderly person or someone who's older than you tells you to do something, khalas, sami'na wa ata'na, right? They say, sit down, khalas, we sit down. But nowadays, you tell a child to sit down, they stand up. Huh? What are you going to do about it? Right? And that's the child nowadays, right? You tell the child, okay, fine, stay standing up, they sit down. They're like, no, I feel like sitting now. You're like, huh, reverse psychology. No, but subhanAllah, when we see the invitation to someone, we use wisdom in it. So we're inviting to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we use wisdom. What wisdom do we use with children? A certain type of wisdom. And that wisdom is different than the wisdom we use with adults. And the wisdom we use with adults is different than the wisdom we use with the uncles and aunties, right? Those are a little bit older. We say that out of respect. We don't want to say grandmother, grandfather. We say uncle and auntie, a little bit older, right? And so subhanAllah, there has to be that understanding. You can tell a young adult, you know what, brother, subhanAllah, you shouldn't do this. It's according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to eat with your right hand instead of eating with your left hand. Why? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, لا تأكلوا بالشمال فإن الشيطان يأكل بالشمال. So you tell them the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, don't eat with your left hand, because verily shaitan eats with the left. So we eat with our right. The young adult says, Alhamdulillah, Jazakallahu khairan, brother, Jazakallahu khairan, sister, I really appreciate that. I'm going to eat with my right hand from now on. And they might even start doing istighfar, like, astaghfirullah, all this time I've been eating with my left hand. You go to the person who's a little bit older and you tell them that, they say, beta, you don't tell me what to do, right? Don't tell me what to do. I know what to do. You're telling me this now? So there's that element of a person feeling, I've been doing the right thing my whole life. Now you're coming to tell me how to do something? You're younger than me. How can you correct me? You know, you stay in your place and I'm in my place. So every single person is needed wisdom to work with another person. And one person will be different than another. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps it broad in general. Ud'u, call upon, invite others to come to Islam, to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bil hikmati wal maw'idhatil hasana. What is maw'idhatil hasana? Using good words. Using a method that is liked. That is, you know, accepted or acceptable in that society as well. Maw'idhatil hasana. You're inviting someone, do some goodness toward them. Smile. Don't come over and just be like, you're going to hell. Imagine someone comes to you and says that. As a believer, imagine someone right now, you know, a Muslim comes up to you and just walks up to you and says, you're going to hell. You know, that ugly face on, ugly look on their face. You think to yourself, what? Like, what are you talking about? Immediately, the reaction or the response that you give is a response of rejection. I'm rejecting what you're saying. Who do you think you are to come and tell me I'm going to hell? Right? That's the immediate feeling that we have inside of us. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us. Use good words. Be kind. Be honest. Be just. Be understanding of that person's society, that person's environment, that person's upbringing, that person's own self right now, what they're going through. Maybe they're going through university. It's different. Don't treat them like the 10 or 12 year old. They're going through university. Don't talk to them like they're a baby. Talk to them like they're an adult. Right? Treat them as though they're the adult and they will listen. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs us to that. But then He says, وَجَادِلْهُمْ, and debate with them, right? Immediately we're thinking, oh, debate, khalas. We remember Ahmad Didat, we remember Dr. Zakir Naik, right? Debate, debate back and forth. And I love to use Ahmad Didat as an example because he's already passed away and because subhanAllah, he was so much more senior and he had wisdom, subhanAllah. Like the way that he spoke was like, subhanAllah, he would just, you know, use a Volkswagen as an example sometimes. You know, just use the most awkward things as an example and subhanAllah, he would get the message across. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not telling us to debate. This is where I need to stop us in our tracks. Many of us think we need to debate. The best way to convey the message of Islam is to debate. No, no, not at all. Before debating, what does Allah say? Maw'idhatil hasana. Before maw'idhatil hasana, good kind words, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Hikmah, wisdom. Think before you even go and do anything. Before that, what does Allah say? Invite. Invite. Invite, not debate. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if it comes to debating, after inviting with wisdom and goodness, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. And if you need to debate with them, do that in the nicest way, in the most kind, respectable manner that you could possibly do, or use, or have. Debate, not debating, putting someone down. Your Bible says this, your Bible says that, this book says that. This, yeah, what are you talking about? Your leaders do this, your leaders do that. No, not insulting others. The method of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs us, is to use kindness. To use kindness. Nobody accepts something that is forced down their throats. Even if it's the nicest samosa or laddu or cham cham that is sitting out there for us waiting, right? To break our fasts. Even if it's a thing we've been craving. Think of the thing you've been craving and imagine someone shoving it down your throat. You're craving it, but you do not want to have it shoved down your throat. Similarly is the deen. A person may be craving for an outlet, craving for guidance, craving to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, craving for someone to bring a breath of fresh air their way in their life. But it is never accepted as much as we love it when it's shoved down our throats. We don't want it that way. We want it given to us nicely on a platter. When you invite someone into your home, what do? You put a nice platter of food in front of them. Nice dish of, you know, sweets and tea or coffee or whatever it is that you're serving to them. It looks nice. This is one thing I love about the Arab culture, subhanAllah. It not only smells nice and looks nice and tastes nice, but the presentation is always, you know, I grew up around a lot of Moroccan families, right? And the Moroccans, they just have next level hospitality, subhanAllah. Right? Next level. Like they will, just the way that they serve you, Moroccans, Algerians as well, and Tunisians, just subhanAllah. That's all I'm going to say. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us that if we're going to call someone to the deen, it should be in a way like you love, like I love to go to a Moroccan brother or sister's house, you know, as an invitation to, for dinner, for example. They invite us over, you love it. You're thinking, oh, what's it going to be? What's the food going to be like? Couscous, alhamdulillah. We notice how similarly a person would want to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if we're serving it to them in the way that they're going to receive it. Nicely accept it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to understand from these verses of the Quran that we go through. I'm going to conclude now. I want to take up another 10 minutes insha'Allah ta'ala, touching upon a topic I think is very, very, very important. And I was hoping there would be a lot more people here earlier. Maybe what I'll do is delay by another 5 minutes insha'Allah. I'll delay by another 5 minutes because I want even the volunteers to listen to what we have to say. Okay, insha'Allah ta'ala. So we'll move on, we'll take another few verses and finish off the surah, insha'Allah. We looked at verse number 125. Khalas, we'll suffice with that. We'll begin surah Al-Isra. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says at the beginning of this surah, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins this surah praising He who has made His servant, His worshipper, travel in the middle of the night. Who made that happen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's how he begins the surah. Subhana alladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan minal masjid al-harami ila al-masjid al-aqsa. He begins the surah highlighting how he has done something, subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that none of us could do. And even now, if we were to think of it, yeah, we could jump on a plane, right? We could jump on a plane and go from one place to the other and come back. Like, we could easily fly from here to Montreal and come back in a few hours. I've done it so many times, right? We could easily jump on a plane and go to Vancouver for the day and come right back. It's doable. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us something that no one assumed could even be possible. To travel that distance in the night. Now you can imagine now if someone says, you know what, I traveled from Mecca to Palestine and came back in the same night. You'll be like, okay, what's your point? You know, you'd look at that person like, would you like a medal or something? Like, shall we give you a gift because you traveled? Like, good for you. MashaAllah. Congratulations. But at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this was something no one could comprehend. Traveling that distance in one night, going and coming back, but then also going up. And as he's going up, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to meet the prophets and messengers that are at different layers or different levels, different stages as he's going up. And to communicate with Musa alayhi salam. Right? This is a beautiful thing. That no one would comprehend, no one could even understand would be a reality at his time. And similarly, subhanAllah, we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing us to recognize that He has made things that in our childhood we would never even think would be possible today. I remember when the scanner came out. You remember the scanner where you could have a scanning machine on your computer at home? Some of you don't remember. Right? Some of you are too young. Where you can have a computer, and then there's a USB wire that goes over to this big flat thing that's on your desk. And you would put paper in there and scan it. And then it would come up on your computer. Now we just take a picture with our phones. And we easily just send it to whoever we want around the world. We don't have to fax it to someone. Right? All of these things, we never thought would even be a reality at our childhood. We never thought we'd be able to have ease of calling someone. I remember when my dad, when I was young, like 5 years old, 6 years old, he went to Pakistan, and my mom would have to call the general store of the village and say, I am so-and-so calling for so-and-so person. And I will call back tomorrow at 8 o'clock. Please leave a message so that he can be here at 8 o'clock tomorrow in the general store. So when my mom would call, my dad would be there. The general store owner would answer because he's the only one who had a phone in the entire village. And would give the phone to my father. Here you go. Here's your phone call from Canada. And it would be what? A collect call from my dad. When he would call us, he would call collect. Does anyone know what a collect call is? Raise your hand if you do not know what a collect call is. If you do not know, raise your hand. Be honest. Raise your hand. Raise it. Don't. This is not raising your hand. Raise it. Up. Up, 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 up. See, they don't even know what a collect call is. You know you could still make a collect call? If you're ever in trouble, let me teach you. Maybe your parents didn't teach you this, right? If you're ever in trouble, you can make a collect call. You pick up the phone, you push zero. You speak to the operator. You say, I need to make a collect call to my parents. What is their phone number? They'll tell you. You tell them the phone number and they will call that number for free. And then the person who answers the call has to accept it. That's a collect call. SubhanAllah, see, they don't even know what it is. That goes to show us how there's things that we never thought would be a reality that have become a reality. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to understand from the Quran what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us. I want to conclude with a message, insha'Allah ta'ala. And please forgive me if this comes off as offensive in any way, shape or form for anyone that may be here. And I want all of our brothers and sisters that are sitting out by the sufra, that are sitting by the food, that might be talking to one another, all the volunteers that are standing out there, just stop everything for 1 minute, inshallah. I want to touch upon the topic of, and I'm going to ask the sisters as well, I'm pretty sure the sister volunteers, please, all the sister volunteers, stop what you're doing as well. Everyone just listen. The month of Ramadan is not a month of waste. And iftar, we see a lot of food being wasted, subhanAllah. To the extent that it bothers many of us, but because I have access to the microphone, I will express all of our sentiments and feelings. It hurts to see the amount of food being thrown in the garbage. So for our volunteers, brothers and sisters that are putting food on the plates, put less food. There's going to be barakah, first of all, in the food. We don't need to eat that much food. We've been fasting for 17 hours. Our stomachs that are this size have shrunk to this size. They've gone back to normal size. We only need this much food in order to survive, in order to actually feel comfortable. The fist, you make a fist and look at your fist. That's how much food you need. That's it. So for our brothers and sisters that are serving and volunteering, Jazakumullahu khayran, we appreciate all that you're doing. And I wish that I could say this seeing you, but subhanAllah, please put less food on the plates so that our brothers and sisters, when they eat, they will have barakah in their food, they will not waste, and for anyone who's hungry, we can always go and get seconds and thirds. We can always go and get seconds and thirds. So subhanAllah, I know and I see this all the time, and it hurts to see the food being thrown in the garbage. It hurts like you wouldn't believe. And I've told those that know me, they know. They've either seen my YouTube videos or they've heard from me directly. I've seen people eating out of garbage dumpsters. What we throw in the garbage, people will wait to go and get that food and they will eat it because they still feel the warmth in the rice that we're throwing in the garbage. So please, my brothers and sisters, don't throw food in the garbage. Unless it's spoiled, that's different. But the food that we're getting that's fresh and hot and 1 second ago we put it in our mouth and now we're just dumping it in the garbage, take it home. And for those that are taking home food every day and have loads of leftovers, I know that's how it is, right? We end up with lots of leftovers and we take it home and we don't end up eating it, then it spoils and goes in the garbage. This is why I'm pleading to our brothers and sisters that are helping us and serving us, and those of us that are taking our food, put less in our plates. put less food, subhanAllah. I don't know how much more to say it, because I know when we go and eat afterwards, someone is going to come to me and say, brother, you see, you just finished mentioning this, look. I know, that's how we are, subhanAllah, we forget. So I'm trying to say it over and over so that we do not waste food. Imagine seeing your child taking food out of a dumpster. We would not want it. Imagine you yourself didn't have food, that you had to wait outside of the grocery store so that when they close at night, you can go into the dumpster to take out whatever spoiled vegetables are in there and cut off the moldy parts and eat the rest. We would not want that. And subhanAllah, let's try not to waste. If we have extra food, we can bring it to those that don't have. The other day, subhanAllah, when we were having the halaqah on Tuesday, the very first day, there was extra food. Because on Tuesdays I do this halaqah as well at Understanding Islam Academy, right? We continue Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. And so we were doing it, we had an extra tray, an entire extra tray of kebabs. And a tray and a half filled with rice. And we, subhanAllah, the brother told me, he says, call this family. It's a Syrian refugee family. He gave me the number, he says, call them, they speak Arabic. And it's a single mother, and she has 10 children. She's a single mother, came here as a refugee, has 10 children. So brother Arif, he gives me the phone, he says, call and ask her if she's going to be home, we'll bring the food there. And when I called, she starts crying on the phone. I asked her, I said, Ukhti, this is Daoud calling, you know, from Halal Serve, from the next door they have the food that they give out, the food bank. I said, I'm calling, we have some food we want to give to you, some rice and chicken. She starts crying, she says, Barakallahu fi. She starts making dua upon dua upon dua. I had to stop her from making dua. I'm like, Ukhti, it's not me. I'm just calling and translating. She's making dua upon dua upon dua. And when brother Arif went there, subhanAllah, he went and he delivered the food, right? The amount of food you could consider a tray of food for us. You know, we think, oh, this is not enough food, right? Three people eat out of it. She has 10 children and she's alone. And subhanAllah, she was crying on the phone simply because I told her, we have some food we want to bring to you. That was it. Tears started to flow. So subhanAllah, like there are people who live as our neighbors who do not have. So my brothers and sisters, please, eat humbly. Think of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you want to eat a lot of food, that's between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not talking about that today. Today I'm talking about waste. Think twice before you throw that food in the garbage. Think twice before you put that food in your plate. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we know, we all get stuck in a position where sometimes we have too much food and we don't know what to do with it. And I will conclude with this. If you are having iftar or having your supper afterwards and you see someone throwing their food in the garbage, give them benefit of the doubt. Maybe that food fell on the ground and they picked it up. And it fell on the ground, maybe the ground was dirty, they picked it up and they were disposing of it. Have some good thoughts. Don't assume bad of someone. You see someone doing something, there's a time and a place to advise them and a method to advise, like we just finished seeing. Call people with goodness, with righteousness. And so when we're advising people, advise them with righteousness as well. Let's all try and do that, inshallah. Aywa. Nafs al-shay. Yeah. Same thing with the water. Yeah, absolutely. So keep that bottle. Keep that bottle and go to the fountain and refill it. Keep the bottle you have, go to the fountain, refill it, keep the bottle with you. Write your name on it. Keep it with you, alhamdulillah. Reuse it and then put it in the recycling. But the water itself, subhanAllah, many of us, because we live in Canada, and I know, we live in Canada and we open the tap and the water flows and we never think twice that the water will stop. I remember when I was memorizing the Quran and we only had one cup of water that was freezing cold in the middle of winter, that we'd have to go out in the fields, a well that was dug with just a faucet on the top, and we'd fill up these big pots of water and bring it back, and to make wudu in the morning in winter, we used to get one cup each to make wudu. You need more? Too bad. I remember not having, and this was here in the GTA, I remember not having water to take showers. We were not allowed as students to take more than one shower a week. One shower a week because of a lack of water. There was no taps. They had a septic tank for the wastage, and they had, you know, a well that would come, a truck would come and fill it up. And the water is too expensive. The school couldn't afford to constantly fill up water, so we had to ration off the water. We were only allowed to take a shower once a week, and we would not even shower at the school. A brother who lived in the city would come with his van and pick us up in groups of six, and he'd take us to his home. We'd take turns showering, and he'd drop us off, and another group would go and shower. Here in the GTA, that's how it was, subhanAllah. Now we open our taps and alhamdulillah, water just flows. I remember being a student in Medina, and on the day of Jum'ah, on Friday, you want to take a shower, and every single morning getting ready for class, every single morning getting ready for class, if you were not ready by 7 o'clock, too bad. There was no water left. People think, oh, we're going to go study in Medina. Yeah, we're going to study there. It's going to be like 5-star. After 7 o'clock, you have no water. And that's the hottest time of the day just beginning now. And we'd have no water. You want to make wudu for class? Too bad. We'd have to walk out into the rural, into the neighborhoods and go to the masajid over there and see if one of them, you know, had some water over there. We would make wudu over there sometimes. Sometimes we'd have to go and use the washroom, the bathroom, and there's no water. And some of you know, you've come from other countries, subhanAllah, where you know the struggle of water is still alive today. And we take it for granted over here. A little bit of water is a lot of water. A little bit of water is a lot of water. There are our Muslim brothers and sisters in humanity as well. Our own human beings in Somalia right now dying. You see the pictures of their body. Why is it we're not seeing those pictures all day long? Bones on these children. Just bones. Bones. And skin over the bones. And we say, oh no, don't talk about this. Our children don't need to know. Our children need to know because our children are the ones wasting the water and wasting the food. We should be teaching them this. And they need to know it. And they need to see a reality of it. And this is why I always encourage those who come to my halaqa regularly, they know. I always encourage, take your children to other countries. Don't take them to Jamaica and you know, these nice resorts. Go to Jamaica and see the poor people of Jamaica. There's poverty there as well. But many people will go from here on vacation to like Mexico, Cancun, the beautiful resort areas where we have food, you know, buffet food all the time. But go to other countries where people are struggling. Go to places where people are suffering. Let the family see that, experience it. Our youth are going through issues with drugs and alcohol, and our parents are saying, you know what, our children, subhanAllah, for decades I'm hearing children in our Muslim community stealing from their parents, taking things from home, silver and gold, spoons and forks, and selling them to get money to go and buy, you know, weed. Subhanallah, take our children to go and see what people are selling just to get a sip of water, just to have a grain of rice that's dirty and not even cooked, so they can put in their mouth and get it moist. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us. Like I said, forgive me if I offend anyone, but honestly speaking, we are the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our own Prophet went days without having, not because he couldn't afford it, but because he gave everything that he had. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those that understand the reality of society and humanity at large. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.